Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The people stood there watching, and the leaders kept jeering at Jesus, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, the chosen one." And the soldiers also made fun of him, coming forward to offer him their sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was an inscription over his head, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging in crucifixion blasphemed him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Then save yourself and save us also." But the other one rebuked him, "Have you no fear of God, seeing you are under the same sentence? We deserve it, after all. We are only paying the price for what we've done, but this man has done nothing wrong." He then said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, this day you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Went to a Christian rock concert last night. It's interesting. They were talking a lot about church, and they were saying, "We are church here, and look quite different than our church, you know." And then I met somebody, and they said, "Our church is just like this. It's singing and praising all of the time, hands raised." And I said, "Well, our church is a little different, you know. We don't get quite that excited. We take it maybe more slowly." Interesting to see it, though, the enthusiasm, the energy, people praising and singing the praise of the Lord, and coming from many different churches and denominations. Matt Maher was the assistant of the headliners. He's a good Catholic and a great singer and a great performer, good teacher and a good witness. I went particularly because I wanted to see him. You know, the others, Casting Crowns was the lead group. And interesting, good music and interesting perspectives, but it's a little different to what we are used to. And it gives expression to the many different ways of praising and celebrating him. The gospel today, to celebrate the feast of Christ the King, could so easily appear very different to us. We might ask ourselves the question, why in the world do we read that gospel on this day, the feast of Christ our King, right? Come on, join me. Yeah, sure. We would ask ourselves, saying, "Man, wouldn't it be something? Why don't we read like the story of the loaves and the fishes, where he performed that great miracle and fed 5,000 people, and it was like the concert, right? Singing and praising and celebrating." I was reminded, or I thought to myself as I was singing and watching these people singing and praising and their hands raised, last concert that I could remember I was at, it was Jimmy Buffett, and it was very similar. It was very similar. But the centerpiece was different. The one that we were praising and celebrating and worshiping was quite different. But it was good to have that enthusiasm and that energy. Here in the gospel, we might say, well, it would have been something if we chose the one of the... how about the story of Zacchaeus? Well, that might be pushing it a bit much to celebrate that as the feast of Christ the King. Or maybe the story of the 10 lepers, or maybe the healing, any one of the healing actions of Jesus. showing his power in the world. And we might say that, yeah, it's an appropriate gospel for the feast of Christ the King. I can't think of a more appropriate gospel than this. This is it. This is really what it was all moving toward. Very soon we'll be singing a song. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? You know, we'll be singing it. It's a good question for today's gospel. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you know about it? I'd like you to look at it a little differently. It's very easy to hear the story, all of the drama and all of the action unfolding. There's a huge number of things going on. Be very easy to become distracted. And here is Luke with a huge concern. He wants us to zero in on what is really, really important. There's only one important thing there. All the other is drama. All of the other is peripheral. The crowd is introduced, the leadership or the crowd. They're jeering at him and they're saying, hey, why don't you come down if you are the Messiah? And then the other people, bystanders, are saying, hey, if you are the Christ, save us, save yourself. The thief is saying, hey, save yourself and save us as well. Come down from the cross. Come down from the cross. That was the message. And then the soldiers were there. And they were all engaged in the sneering and the carry on. That's really important. Why? Because if we go back to the beginning, we see with Luke how important it was. There was a great story in the opening of the public ministry of Jesus. It says, in the 15th year of the rule of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea and Herod was the tetrarch and all of that, the word of God was spoken to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert, and he went about proclaiming the good news, teaching in the region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance that led to forgiveness of sins. That's pretty important. This is the opening of the mission. As is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, and then he saw all of these people coming forward for baptism, and he looked at them and he said, you brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the coming wrath? Give some evidence that you mean to reform. Do not begin by saying to yourselves, we are sons of Abraham. He said, I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these very stones. That is no claim to fame. Make a decision about what you really want to believe. That'll make a difference in your life. And then the crowds kept asking him, what do we need to do? And in reply, he said, let the man who has two coats give one away. And the man who has food should do the same. And then tax collectors came forward to be baptized. And they said to him, teacher, what are we to do? And he answered, exact nothing over and above your fixed amount. And soldiers likewise came and asked him, what about us? And he said to them, don't bully anyone, denounce no one falsely. Be content with your pay. And the people were full of anticipation. Powerful. That's where it all started. Now look at the end. They're all gathered there again. And it seems like absolute defeat. It appears that way, but isn't that the story of the gospel? What appears to be is really not so at all. The reversal of the fortunes. Those who were first will now be last, and those who are last will be first. And the one who saves his life will lose it, and the one who loses his life will save it. And the one who serves the others will be the real servant, not the one who controls, or not the one who manipulates, or not the one who reigns over, but the one who serves. Now it has come to the end. That's the gospel. But we read from the baptism. How important was the baptism of Jesus? Now it is coming to fulfillment in this very action. How's my baptism coming to fulfillment? John said to the people with all of their anticipation, I'm baptizing you with water. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's the difference maker. Baptized with the Holy Spirit, celebrating the power of God. And here it is now winding up with all of these people. They've had a whole journey to try and follow him and move through the conversion. And a lot of them just totally missed. That's why he is on the cross. And they missed the journey and the teaching and the instruction and the invitation. Why? Because it was too hard. It was too difficult. We can't take the teaching. So we crucify the prophet, but it was all toward the fulfillment because the whole journey was directed toward Jerusalem. And now we are in Jerusalem and the final piece, the final chapter is unfolding absolutely powerfully. This is the power of the gospel. Everything that had been taught along the way is now celebrated. It's nailed to the cross. Everything that was proclaimed, the order of things, the changing order, the first being last, and dying is coming to life. That it's not about staying alive. And here was the struggle for the people after all of that. Come down from the cross. Continue to perpetuate this life. It's not about perpetuating this life. That's what it was about. Now we can see it. It wasn't about perpetuating this life to which we have almost an addiction. Lord, fix them, make them well so that we can keep going and not deal with the issue of resurrection. And Jesus, look at the story. Look at the experience. The calm one in the presence, the one who was in control, the Christ, the crucified. That was the one who was in control. He knew exactly where he was going, knew exactly what he was bringing to fulfillment. And now the whole gospel was in this. This much I love you. Watch and see all that I have taught you along the way, and the reversal of fortunes, what happens in this life is so different to what is going to happen in the life of the kingdom. It doesn't have to be this way. It's very powerful. Just the most powerful portion of the gospel, where the Christ is in total control. Because total control is surrender. Surrendering to the plan and to the will of the Father and allowing it to come fearlessly to fruition. Look at it. It's everything he taught. It's between it cover to cover. Where we began with the baptism and now where we end up with the cross leading to resurrection. Those are the book covers. That is why Luke has them all gathered there. And the big question, what did you learn from this? On this, the feast of Christ the King, what do we learn from this? It's a kingdom of justice and peace, of love and fairness, of commitment to those who are marginalized and poor, a commitment, and it was absolute devotion and dedication to that. Never wavering from that. And look at the final actions. Here he is in total control, nailed steadfast. That's control. That's control in Jesus' kingdom. And what happens from there, from that very position? He forgives his executioners. He promises paradise to the one who repents. Luke beautifully portrays the whole thing in the two individuals coming down to the end with the Christ. The one who is sneering and saying, hey, if you are the Messiah, if you are the Christ, save yourself and then pull us into it as well. And the other, great contrast. It's a contrast to those who really got the message and those who still failed to get the message. But it was ultimately a story which we find hard to believe, that it's never too late to turn to him. Look at all of the thinking and processing that we do about who's in and who's out and who's up and who's down and who's here and who's there. This is a story that totally destroys our perceptions of that. Right there and then he said, hey, be merciful to me, a sinner. We deserve what we are getting. He has done nothing wrong. All of the theology coming to fulfillment, portrayed in the individuals on either side of him. And so there he is, in complete calm, forgiving his executioners, promising paradise to the thief who repented, and having done these things, he entrusts his spirit to his Father in heaven. It's not just about this life. Into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. It's not all about the here and now. That was his prayer, and then he dies. His death is shown to be utterly consistent with his life. Absolutely no difference at all in the whole process headed toward Jerusalem constantly. His life is the final enactment of his teaching. He is philosopher, prophet, Lord, King, and they place the inscription over him, King of the Jews. This is what it was all about. And the words, it is complete. That's why the gospel is so important, that particular gospel. It is complete. Because nobody, absolutely nobody is left out if they are willing to turn to him and say, remember me.